This episode is brought to you by New Balance. You don't have to be an elite athlete when you pound the pavement. Whether you've run 5 marathons or you only run when necessary, whether you're chased by bears, zombies, monsters, the apocalypse is coming. But New Balance will have you covered regardless. Whether you need shoes for comfort, stability, or race day speed, they've got you covered. Because the only right way to run is your way. New Balance. Run your way. Visit newbalance.com/running to learn more.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hi, this is Go, my favorite sports team, back at it with another year of amazing content just for you. This is season 3. We're mixing things up a little bit.
That's such a new intro. It's beautiful. I don't hate it, but I don't know if I love it quite yet. It seems like we can always look to improve throughout season 3.
Well, nuts to you. I want to start low so we can end high.
Okay.
All right. I'm Mark. This is Tyler. That's all you need to know at home about what's going on over here.
Mark is your seasoned professional, entertainer extraordinaire, movie maker, YouTuber, content creator, fun guy.
That's me.
I'm your teach you sports man. I know sports good. I have a master's degree in sports.
Yeah. All right, so in this podcast, we talk about sports, and I want to start it off with news in sports, which is something that we're trying to get more topical about. But even I heard about this recent development that people, it won't be recent by the time people hear this, but it'll still be relatively recent. Draymond Green. Did you hear about this? Did you see about all this?
It depends on which one you're talking about.
The two. I consider it like a two-part story, right? Because technically, isn't it like one after the other? One is kind of a result of the action that took place the day prior.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So as of this recording, a few days ago, he's for the Golden State Warriors, I believe. Draymond Green was playing the basketball.
As he does.
Balling baskets. And then in one play from one angle, and I'm not sure if this is just the angle showing it, but it really seems like from any angle, this is what it is. He grabs another player. He doesn't grab him by the throat, like hand around the throat, but it's pretty close to that.
It's pretty close.
Whole arm just basically ripping head backwards. And it's just the other player going, oh, and pretty much, you know, wherever your head goes, your whole body's going to follow. But what happens is, it wasn't called as any kind of like, well, I don't know what's the harshest foul in basketball. I don't even know.
It's called a flagrant foul. There's flagrant one, which I think is the most egregious.
But this wasn't called that, right?
I don't exactly remember what it was called.
Yeah, it was just called probably just a regular old foul.
Just a regular foul.
Yeah. But what I found interesting, and this is what I heard after, this is where I heard about all this, is that afterwards, in the next game, I believe it was the next game, the day after, I think, within the first 4 minutes, Draymond Green was ejected from the game.
Yeah.
Was this because there was backlash after the game and they didn't call like a harsher foul during the game? And then during this game, they were looking for any reason to chuck him from the game.
Well, I mean, even Draymond himself said he deserved to get kicked out
for the last foul. Or for what happened?
For what happened yesterday.
So I don't know what happened. What happened yesterday?
He was just apparently chirping at the officials. So he was talking back to the officials throughout like the majority of the game.
There was only 4 minutes that he got ejected. So I don't know how much chirping he could have done.
So he was chirping about a personal foul for his first personal foul. And then his teammate, Steph Curry, got called for a shooting foul. And he approached the official named Acosta, I believe, and started yelling at him, and then he got a technical, and then still Draymond didn't stop, so then he ejected him. So he gave him a technical, then the second technical. And so he's the first player to be ejected at least four times in the season since Kevin Durant was.
Oh, four times in the season. Wow. So these are not related to each other, you think?
They are not directly related. No.
Okay. All right. Because that's what I assumed, considering like, wow, he's in the news 2 days in a row. This seems weirdly coincidental.
But earlier in the season, he did get a suspension for throwing a punch during a game. So Draymond Green is known for having issues as well. Like, you remember back in like 2017, 2016, we were talking about DeMarcus Cousins because he played for the Kings and Catherine was super into the Kings and how he got suspended.
I remember someone going,
DeMarcus Cousins.
I remember that floating around a lot.
DeMarcus Cousins was notorious for getting a bunch of technical fouls, yelling at officials. So Draymond Green is basically following that same path now, but he's also been already known for being extremely physical. He was the player that got memed on for kicking people in the nuts every time he jumped to shoot. He would literally stick his leg out and kick people in the nuts. Yeah.
Okay.
So like Draymond has kind of a history of being a not so clean player. You know, every team has those dirty players, like Tony Acevedo said back in the day when we talked to him.
Do they intentionally? Do they like get one player on the roster that is intentionally more aggressive?
Not intentionally. It's just you just happen to find there's always that dirty player, you know?
Oh, I suppose. All right. Well, anyway, that's the news that I have, except this is something else I heard. Okay, weird thing. I don't know why, but my Instagram is very confused. I don't go on Instagram a lot. My Explore page is a mixture of like camera lenses, cinematography, comic books, and random other bullshit. The occasional like popping video will, you know, like zit popping will come up on my feed.
Oh, God.
And I do not click on them, but it's my, so the Explore page is a nightmare, right? But my main page, my following page, I don't follow that many people. So as soon as it runs out, it starts suggesting things, right? It's baseball.
Oh, it's probably because I've been sending you baseball stuff and things through Messenger.
Is it you? I've been so confused as to why my Instagram is just baseball. Like, I'll show you.
It also could be because when you first made Instagram, I think you lived in Cincinnati and opening day just happened. And Cincinnati is known, notorious, like, is very famous for opening day because it was the first baseball team, Major League Baseball team ever.
Man, if that's what they remember. So as soon as I clear my stuff, it's da-da-da, baseball. I don't know why. And then I scroll down. It's a camera thing. I scroll down. There's the Game Grumps, some travel thing. Ah, baseball, Korean baseball.
Yep.
Which baseball is big in Korea. Oh, man, there's so many more than this. Oh, there's tennis. But oh, baseball. There it is. Now we got it. Oh, look, it's was this guy in a canoe?
No, that's Sky. That's paragliding.
Paragliding, yeah, paragliding.
It's listening to you when we talked about paragliding. But yeah, I sent you Korean baseball clips. My last two things I sent you were Korean baseball.
Damn, I never look at my messages in Instagram. So if anyone out there messages me on Instagram, I don't look at it. And if you're talking to someone that you think is me, it's not me. Just so you guys know.
All right, good to know that I send you all these sport things and you never look at them.
You've never seen like a read receipt on any of them, have you? So no, I haven't seen it.
No, I've never paid attention.
But what I do know is I've heard a lot about this Shohei Ohtani.
Okay, yeah.
Who is a Japanese baseball player who signed a contract for $700 million. I mean, we might have talked about this.
We did. Ohtani played, he was the best baseball player in very recent years. He's considered the best in modern baseball. He played for the Angels. He went into free agency and he signed with the Dodgers for that amount, which we did talk about on the podcast.
Okay. All right, cool. So never mind. Old news. Don't need to talk about it.
No, but there is recent news regarding him.
What was it? What happened?
This is the story. He fired his interpreter for embezzling money and gambling. That said, there's suspicion that Ohtani was gambling. Also, that we discovered that he's known English this whole time and never needed an interpreter. He hired an interpreter who was his friend, and his friend apparently was stealing money. But there's perception, and this is not fact, this is what people think, that he was actually gambling and he got caught, and so his interpreter became his fall guy so that he didn't get a permanent ban from baseball. Because that's what Pete Rose, the greatest hitter of all time who played for Cincinnati, the reason he's not in the Hall of Fame, and the reason that he got forced out of baseball, he was unable to be a manager anymore and coach, was because of gambling. So the belief is Ohtani is using his interpreter as a fall guy so that he doesn't get a permanent ban from baseball, and Major League Baseball is probably somewhat investigating and is concerned about the enforcement of a ban if they have to, because he's the most famous player in all of baseball in the world right now, and they have two choices: reinstate Pete rose and apologized to him and induct him into the Hall of Fame, or punished Ohtani. So
wouldn't that be the strangest turn of events of like all the things in sports history to cause that to occur? It's just because this guy's so famous that we can't punish him. Therefore, Pete Rose, you're good to go.
Yeah.
By precedent. Yeah. That's hilarious.
In order to save viewership today? Absolutely. Yeah.
Man, what would happen if they banned him? Like, because they would,
Oh my God.
He would be banned if it was like actually he was betting and, you know, maybe helping to fix some bets one way or another.
It would be like Major League Baseball cutting probably their revenue by over 50%.
50? You think one player would bring it down 50%?
It's not just the fact that it's one player. It's the fact of the enforcement of this. Basically, with everything that's going on in gambling and sports today, and suddenly they're like, yeah, everybody can gamble, do all this stuff. Oh, wait, but you can't.
So there's
the hypocrisy of it. There's going to be the fan perception of it. Plus, it's like the biggest baseball player, like who's making baseball interesting again. Ticket sales are actually starting to recover a little bit. And a part of it is because of Ohtani and the fact that he's a pitcher that can also hit. So he plays like perpetually. He's a forever playing pitcher, which is absolutely unheard of in modern baseball. So as they've started to recover, as they've improved for television ratings and all of this stuff, and the amount of ticket sales, especially with Dodgers fans, like the luxury like seats in Dodger Stadium are up by over, I think, like 1,000% price wise.
1,000%?
Yes. For season tickets, yes. Like the prices have gone up insane since he signed with the Dodgers. So the amount of revenue loss just from that alone is insane, because Major League Baseball gets part of that as well as, but the majority is the Dodgers. So
yeah,
it would just be a massive, massive, massive drop to Major League Baseball in the eyes of fans' perception.
Well, I didn't even know that. But just goes to show, gambling is bad. And even if there are ads on this podcast that are for sports gambling, that is not under our control, and we do not endorse a single one of those. If this is gonna cut to commercial right now, and you hear sports betting, I hate this company. I can't stand this company. This right here, I stay up all night thinking about how much I hate this. It's awful. This thing.
I'm gonna laugh when Sam puts just your face pointing at your face, going, I hate this.
I'm predominantly concerned with this region right here. I can't even remember how I did it.
In better news, there is a real good feel story for March Madness that is going on right now. So college basketball, the giant bracket.
A good feel story? A good feel?
It's a feel-good story. Listen, I had a concussion. I'm still recovering each shot.
You couldn't talk before the concussion, so that's not your excuse.
That's also true. Now it's just worse.
All right, fair.
But BYU's band couldn't make it to the contest. Some stuff came up, or actually it wasn't BYU, it's Yale.
This marching band?
Marching band, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's not a sport. What are we talking about?
No. But it's related to March Madness. Yale's band could not make it to their contest. And it's very common for bands to come in to play when there's breaks in basketball and stuff like that. Upon hearing that they couldn't make it, the University of Idaho, which was hosted the first two rounds of the tournament, volunteered to fill in, and they played in place of Yale's band.
Okay.
And so it was just a really nice thing, because not only did they fill in, they wore Yale merch so that they looked to be a part of Yale. And
then they played really bad, and then they missed all their notes.
Well, I mean, Yale did end up losing the game anyway, so maybe they did play bad.
You know how if a band plays at the wrong time, the other, like if they're away and they play when the home team, you know, there's certain times that a band's not supposed to play. You think if you're impersonating the band, if you play at all the wrong times, then you get the other team really angry at you.
Oh, I'm going to dunk on them now.
This good feel story could turn into a bad feel story real quick. And,
Story. That's our token line now. It's a good feel or a bad feel story.
This is the good feel segment of it. You're going to good feel. You're a good. Guarantee it.
Oh, what a way to kick off season 3. This episode is brought to you by New Balance. You don't have to be an elite athlete when you pound the pavement. Whether you've run 5 marathons or you only run when necessary, whether you're chased by bears, zombies, monsters, the apocalypse is coming. But New Balance will have you covered regardless. Whether you need shoes for comfort, stability, or race day speed, they've got you covered. Because the only right way to run is your way. New Balance. Run your way. Visit newbalance.com/running to learn more.
You know what we are kicking season three off with? A not sport primer.
All right.
Oh my God, your camera froze.
My camera froze?
Yeah, for a second.
Man, even if my camera froze, my expression was just anyway. So I don't think that there was anything actually going on. I didn't go, whoa, not sport primer. It was pretty much just straight up like, what is that?
Really what happened, guys, you didn't see it, but Mark's head exploded and then reformed.
It was crazy. Yeah, I experienced death for a brief moment. It was horrible.
But Mark, we're going to talk about professional wrestling.
Haven't we already talked?
No, we have not talked. We've talked about it briefly, but we have not gone in depth about it. And we're going to talk about it because it's the 40th year of WrestleMania, which is WWE's WrestleMania. It's a major professional wrestling event. What is happening to my camera?
I don't know what's happening to you. Yeah, a little strange. Well, everything's fine, everybody. But you can see all the freakiness over at Spotify, where the video is only there.
But before we get into that, how's Chica? How was her birthday?
It was good. She spent her birthday in the car, so it wasn't the greatest birthday. Not that she doesn't like being in the car. She actually enjoys it because she gets to look out the window and see all the pretty lights. But what I really want to do is, I know you're not supposed to give dogs like chicken bones, but you can give dogs some types of beef bones, usually rib bones, and usually if they're raw, you kind of want to keep them raw because if you cook them, they become extra brittle and they can turn into shards. But if they're raw, they're usually less dangerous. You should always watch your dog's eating a bone of any kind, but that's usually when they're better. So I want to get her like a full-on rib with meat on it, because we did that once where we came back from a restaurant and it was a cooked one, but we weren't going to give her the whole bone, but it had some meat on it. And so we're just going to give her some so she could gnaw on it, get the meat off, and then we take the bone away. Let me tell you, Chica is a very, very well-behaved, very well-trained girl. She'll let go of anything if you tell her to leave it. She did not want to let go of this bone. She did not want. I could tell. Her brain was like, I need to let go. But everything in her body was like, I don't know. I was like, leave it. Give it to me. And she was like, like the programming was just like conflicting and errors were getting thrown everywhere. You could see sparks shooting out of her ears. She's a very good girl, though. And she eventually, well, I had to rip it out of her mouth.
She's a very good girl. Why?
Admittedly, that was a tough one. I get that. So ever since then, I've wanted to get her like a nice big hank and bone that she could chew all the way through and just like tear apart. So that's what I want to do. Maybe tonight I'll try to go to a store or something. Get her that.
Everything else going well?
Yeah. Final stages, as I've said many times, but the actual final stages this time.
Listen, I'll believe it once it's over. Then I'll believe it.
Thanks. It is. It's almost there.
Well, it's time to get into the normal scheduled programming. We're going to talk about WWE wrestling, aka professional wrestling, aka not a sport. So, Mark, we've talked about pro wrestling before. I specifically said it was fake, but the 40th anniversary of WrestleMania is coming up. It's the 40th iteration, I guess, not necessarily the 40th anniversary. And so it's finally time for us to actually discuss pro wrestling and also why it isn't a sport. But before we get into that, we need to learn about pro wrestling.
Okay.
So, Mark, you enter arena. There's lights, there's music, there's just a ring that looks like a boxing ring.
Am I supposed to be here? Or did I sneak in?
You may have snuck in, but you're excited.
Okay, I'm excited. No matter what, I'm excited. Okay.
You're about to see your favorite wrestler, Dance McGee, go up against a bumbling, bristling body boy.
Go Dancy! Am I fighting? Why am I in the ring?
You're not in the ring. You're in the arena that's heading the rings.
Oh, I thought I was in the ring.
Yeah, you're a spectator. You're a spectator, all right?
Oh, okay. All right, gotcha.
There's music happening, all right? There's stuff going on. People are cheering. They're doing the wave. People got signs. They got face paint. Some have masks, you know? They're excited.
Yippee!
Your match is the main event.
Oh, cool.
Your announcer comes on and he's like, ladies and gentlemen, blah, blah, blah. it talks about what's going to be happening, what previously happened, getting the high crowd hyped up.
Can anyone understand him? I swear, he just went blah, blah, blah. What was up with that?
And then you see, you look up on the Jumbotron, you see backstage, you see him getting a little bit ready.
Oh, God, they're naked. We cut too early to the backstage. No!
There's some drama. Dancing McGee kissed Bumble Boy's lady. Oh, no.
Consensually?
Yes.
Oh, no. I mean, yay. Go Dancy McGee. I think.
Yeah, you get that lady or whatnot. All right. So there's backstory. There's some beef between these two, right? They're fighting for the title. They're trying to get up there. There's a soap opera essentially happening backstage. And then the announcement comes. Music blares. Fireworks shoot up. Dancy McGee walks out in his disco ball outfit.
Well, okay. Well, stop. Walks out. Dancy McGee is just walking.
He dances out.
There, well, that's Dancy. All right.
He walks out and he starts his dance, all right? And does a crazy McTwist double flip over the bars and he's in the center.
He landed the McTwist double flip.
And then all of a sudden, on the other side of the arena, a whole other thing happens. It's all about muscles. He's lifting weights. He's squatting as he walks into the arena, all right?
This is the laziest announcer. On the other side, something else happens. It's a big bumbling body boy, something like that.
All right, and so they taunt at each other, they badmouth, they curse, they get the microphone and they talk bad about each other, saying their lines of how they're going to kick the other one's ass. And then it's time for the match to begin, and the ref gets them gathered and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, they start doing crazy flips. They start punching each other. There's some blood that happens. One person seems to be winning. They throw him out of the arena onto a table, breaks the table. And eventually, one of them emerges as a victor by pinning the other.
Damn, I blinked and I missed it. Wow. I went to go to the bathroom and I missed everything. That was the main event?
That was the main event. It was just that match that day, all right?
Who won?
Dancy McGee won.
Yippee! Is he gonna go home with the other guy's wife?
I don't know. That's what we find out in the next match.
Gotta cut to backstage for that. Wow, that was great. That was awesome. I wanna go again.
The match was storytelling. It was physical stunts, interesting events that are happening, and you can tell that it's so coordinated. It's high flying. You know, they're doing these crazy, incredible maneuvers that are insanely athletic. But at the end of it, it is entertainment. It is scripted.
You're goddamn right. It is just like the NFL.
Anyway, moving on.
No, come on. Is the NFL scripted? Is it scripted?
Trying to script that amount of people on a field, it's unimaginably difficult to do that.
But not impossible.
There can be favoritism between refs. I do think that can happen. There might be some stuff where there's stipulations on calls that might, you know, especially with sports betting get into it, they might push it to that point. But it is considered sport, NFL-wise, is sport, because it is not scripted. The script itself, there's actually WWE, I have this pulled up. Scripts were being leaked at one point from WWE about who was going to win. So much so that people figured out the process where they tell the announcers who's fighting, but the announcers are never given the script. They don't know who wins. The officials know, like the ref in the middle of the ring, know who's supposed to win. But at the end of the day, there's rough bullet points of what's going to happen in the match, but it is entirely physical improv. They coordinate. There are major things that happen. It's blocked out in some sense. But at the end of the day, a lot of the stuff that happens in between is an improv show between two incredible improvisers and improv artists. Even oftentimes what the wrestlers say to each other is improv. The Rock, John Cena, very famous wrestlers throughout history, all had come up with their own lines. And, you know, throughout, there's a coordination and a knowledge of like, hey, I'm going to do this. Know how to fall, know how to react. This is like some of the major stunts that they do are blocked. But at the end of the day, it is incredible choreographed, high-flying stuntmen. Mm-hmm. That's what WWE is. WrestleMania is WWE's biggest event of the year, drawing in 100,000 person spectators in person and millions of viewers every year.
Person spectators?
100,000 in person. at the
in-person spot, not just spectators that spectate persons.
Millions of viewers on TV worldwide. There's actually a recent explosion in viewership in the last couple years. And this year's two-night WrestleMania event may be the most watched WrestleMania in history. It has already broken ticket sale records, and it's turning out pop culture icons over the past 40 years of WrestleMania.
Excuse me, John, I'm not bored, I swear. Comparatively, how many millions are tuning in?
Just says millions. I don't have an exact detail right now.
Let me see if I can get an idea. How many people watch WrestleMania? Okay. 2.26 million people watched WrestleMania last year, I think. Comparatively, 115 million people watched one football game. That's what that's saying. Oh, wait, no, sorry. That 2.26 million watched a random wrestling event, not WrestleMania, compared to 150 million people who watch a regular football game. I think that's what that's saying.
No, the episode is WrestleMania. WrestleMania 39, 2.26 million viewers, up over 23% compared to last week's wrestling event.
Oh, so 2.26 million was WrestleMania?
Yes, because it says breaks Peacock record is what I'm looking at. It's on Variety.
So that's not that many, though, if you think about it, right?
Wait, they're talking about Monday Night Raw. They're not talking about WrestleMania. You're right. Monday Night's WrestleMania of Raw. That's what it is. There's multiple names.
So equivalency, roughly, let's say 2 to 3 million people are going to watch. And that's a good number. But I would have thought it would have been more because there are a lot of people that are a fan of professional wrestling. There's a lot of people. It's very popular. And there's a lot of like pop culture influential people like The Rock and now Dave Bautista and John Cena that have come out of wrestling and have gone immediately into movies and more popular mediums. Not saying it's everyone, there's plenty of people that don't, but a lot of people do know these characters and these people, and they have had successful careers outside of it. And that all depends on, you know, their skill at acting and whatnot. I would have thought it would have been more because you don't see that many football players. You do. The only one that comes to mind is glove. If the glove doesn't fit, what's his name?
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson. That's the only one that comes to mind right now who was in the Naked Gun movies and probably some other things.
Oh, in movies. Dan Marino. Dan Marino was Dolphins. He was in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
What did he do in that? I haven't seen that in a while.
He was kidnapped.
Oh. How about recently? Anybody recently from football?
I mostly can think of in commercials. I mean, Tom Brady has been in some movies. There's the something for Brady or 40 for Brady, whatever that.
Yeah, but that was like a movie about Tom Brady. I guess it comes from the distinction can be WWE is a performative entertainment. So you do need that improv skill. You do need acting skill.
So they have the actors. Yeah.
You have to have some kind of like entertainment. Whereas like professional athletes are predominantly just about playing the sport. They're not usually, you do have someone like Travis Kelce, who has a, you know, more robust personality, some people say, you know, he's entertaining or charismatic, but the bar is higher for wrestling because you have to have that personality. You have to have your personality carry your character through. So probably that translates more, which is why it's all the more surprising that less people watch it, I think.
Right. But it's also because it's not a sport. Some people are more interested in the sport aspect because a lot of people, even friends that I know, describe professional wrestling as a man's version of a soap opera is really what they describe it as because of the drama that's related to it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to stroke my mic sensually.
Okay.
Sorry, that was probably very... Cut that out, editors. Make sure that sound is not there.
Even going back, like we think of The Rock, we think of John Cena, we think of Dave Bautista. But if you grew up in the 90s and 2000s, you remember Hulk Hogan, Mr. T, Randy Macho Savage, snap into a Slim Jim.
I didn't even know Mr. T was a wrestler.
He was a wrestler.
Wow, yeah. I didn't even know that.
Pro wrestlers have a history in it. Getting into acting, Andre the Giant in Princess Bride was a professional wrestler.
That's true. Wow, that's true.
Because it's entertainment, it is not technically a sport. They are forced to have acting capabilities, improv capabilities, and the ability to be characters and be entertaining.
Crazy.
So, Act 1. We're 30 minutes in. We're just now getting into Act 1. The history of WrestleMania.
Ah, yes.
The organization that became WWE dates back to the 1950s, but pro wrestling as we know it today didn't emerge until the early 1980s, and it all started with Vincent K. McMahon.
Ah, McMahon.
He bought his father's company, the WWF, or the World Wrestling Federation, and began making big changes. Now, McMahon recently has actually come under fire for some stuff that he did. So, you know, there's a little bit of a sour note on his name.
I've heard nothing but drama about Mr. McMahon. I like, as far as I've heard, not many good things. That's been my experience with hearing about Vince Money McMahon.
And that's fair. I mean, that he was made into the drama of the actual show, too. So there's probably plenty of drama on top of that, the real drama on top of the actual showmanship drama. But back in those days, pro wrestling was divided up into a bunch of regions, and none of them interfered with the other's territory. That was until McMahon changed that all by signing talent like Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant from these other rival wrestling companies.
How many were there?
There were a few. Explosive Pro Wrestling, Impact Pro Wrestling, Domination Wrestling Union, iGeneration Superstars of Wrestling, Pro Wrestling's Women's Alliance, World Championship Wrestling, World Wrestling All-Stars, and then you go into Canada with BSE Pro, Eastern Sports Association, Heart Legacy Wrestling, International Wrestling Alliance, LUT International, Maple Leaf Wrestling. You hop to Japan. There's like a ton all across the world. But in the U.S. specifically, the main ones that are no longer in existence, American Wrestling Foundation, Century Wrestling Alliance, Shikara, Deep South Wrestling, Dragon Gate USA, Extreme Championship Wrestling, Explosive Rising, Evolve, Family Wrestling Entertainment, Florida Championship Wrestling, Front Row Wrestling, Future of Wrestling, Global Force Wrestling, Hardcore Homecoming, Heartland Wrestling Association, Hulk Hogan Celebrity Championship Wrestling, Incredibly Strange Wrestling, Independent Professional Wrestling Alliance, IWF Promotions, Jersey All Pro Wrestling, Lucha Libre, Mason-Dixon Wrestling, Memphis Championship Wrestling, Omega Championship Wrestling, Rise Wrestling, Steel City Wrestling, Ultimate Pro Wrestling, Wrestle-icious, Extreme Pro Wrestling, just to name a few. There are a lot more on here.
And so he was signing wrestlers from all of these other places, right?
Yes. So like he would sign somebody from the American Wrestling Association or the United States Wrestling Association, which that was unheard of. Once people signed people, they would not take wrestlers from other people because that was their quote unquote territory. And it was broken up to the regions that they covered. So like Pacific Northwest Wrestling was one of the specific regions specific. Georgia Championship Wrestling, Mid-South Wrestling are a few that are listed on here.
Good business strategy though, right?
Yeah. I mean, he basically formed an all-star list by stealing the top talent from other people, which obviously angered the other pro wrestling companies, but skyrocketed WWF's popularity, which was the World Wrestling Foundation that he purchased. 1984, WWF staged a fight, the Fabulous Moolah, the first female WWF champion, and eight-time Women's World Wrestling leader against music legend Cyndi Lauper. Cyndi Lauper didn't actually fight, but was in the corner for Wendy Richter, an up-and-coming wrestler.
Why is that name familiar? Sydney. Sydney Lauper?
Cindy.
Cindy.
C-Y-N-D-I. L-A-U-P-E-R.
It says here, Cyndi Lauper's a singer-songwriter. Is there another one?
No, it's a singer-songwriter. She was not a wrestler. So,
oh!
She didn't actually fight, but was in the corner for Wendy.
Oh! Okay.
Either Richter or Richter, an up-and-coming wrestler. And this fight was called the Brawl to End It All.
That's a good name. That's a good name.
That's
a good name.
But it was to end a feud between Cyndi Lauper's manager with the Fabulous Moolah fighting on his behalf and both Cyndi Lauper, who had Wendy Richter fighting. So it was Cyndi versus her manager, essentially.
Right. Okay.
But they had stand-in wrestlers.
So many people are going to be upset at me not knowing immediately who Cyndi Lauper is. I'm sure that there is. And I apologize. I don't know a lot of things. I know about lenses. I know a little bit about space. I know how to make videos. I don't know a lot of things.
I didn't know who she was either.
Okay, good. Okay, we're both in trouble then.
We're both in trouble.
Okay, good.
But the real winner was WWF because their viewership spiked to the highest it ever had been. Then WrestleMania took place for the first time in the following year in 1985 and was an instant hit, which featured Hulk Hogan, Mr. T, special guest Muhammad Ali, and took place in Madison Square Gardens in New York and has continued for 40 years ever since. There's never really been a break in WWE shows. WrestleMania is like a season finale where they wrap up storylines of the drama that's going on, the rivals who have been taunting each other, and they finally face off. And they oftentimes bring back fan favorite wrestlers from previous eras or even ones that we haven't seen since earlier in the season of WWE or WWF. But you may have noticed up to this point, I've been calling the WWE the WWF.
Right.
It's because back in 2002, they lost a lawsuit to the World Wildlife Fund and had to switch to WWE and became World Wrestling Entertainment.
Which I did know about. I did know about.
Many of these storylines evolved over the years. Wrestling talents of each era in the 80s, you had Andre the Giant, Mr. T, Hulk Hogan. Then there's the insanity of the 90s, like, I don't know if it's China or China, The Undertaker, Cold Stone Steve Austin, Alondra Blaze, and The Rock. And in the 2000s, stars like John Cena, Trish Stratus, Roman Reigns, Rhea Ripley, and Becky Lynch. It might have been Rhea Ripley, but it's R-H-E-A.
Bah, who cares?
But the cast of WWE changes over time, always new wrestlers, but also still reaching back and bringing back favorites. Take forever for us to go through every single year. And in the end, many of the stories repeat over and over with slight differences, different characters, different things. But storylines are repetitive, but often and almost always entertaining. I've listed a bunch of WWE stars, GMFST subreddit. Tell us your favorite wrestler. We don't really care, but apparently our researcher does.
We don't care. Wow. Wow. He's right. We don't give a shit. You have a favorite wrestler? Oh, whoopity-doo-dah. Oh, wait. Wow. Good job. You named them real well. Did you spell it right? We don't know. Because we don't care. And season 3 is really aggressive. I like it.
All right. And WWE may not be a sports organization, and pro wrestling isn't a sport, but it is a huge part of American culture. And as of 2023, it's estimated that 89.9 million WWE fans in the U.S. exist, the most there's ever been. All right. Cool. Just for fun. Act 2.
All right. Just for fun.
Pro wrestling isn't a sport, so there's no rules, no equipment, no stuff like that to cover.
All right.
But you know what? Let's throw Baby Mark into a WWE arena.
All right.
Let's see Baby Mark fight.
Okay. I'm already in uniform. Just me and my diaper.
All right. Baby Mark, you need to come up with a unique and interesting persona that makes audiences either love or hate you.
The bottle.
The bottle?
I'm the bottle.
The bottle. All right. All right. All right. What's your iconic costume and outfit to wear into the ring? You got spikes?
Got a nipple on my head. That's what I got. Full of milk.
Yeah.
That's it.
Guys, watch out. Here comes the bottle.
Here comes the bottle.
Is that going to be your signature move, too?
what do bottles do?
The suckle.
Oh, yeah, you're going to suckle on me.
The drip. The leak.
Yeah, you watch out. I'm going to hit you with the drip. You can't handle my drip.
I'm just imagining you as a baby as a bottle, and you flip over and just shake your head until some sweat drips on your opponent.
That's it. That's the move. That's the move. They don't want that. I've got them twisted up like a pretzel what the fuck?
So now we're going to dive into the is pro wrestling fake? In the sense that WWE does in fact script their fights, they script their drama, there's still a level of improv to it, but that doesn't mean everything you see in WWE fight is fake. There's real training, there's athleticism, injuries do happen, accidents do happen. Think of it as similar to like a Cirque du Soleil performance, but you wouldn't call Cirque du Soleil gymnasts fake gymnasts. They're still incredibly gifted athletes, but the actions that they are taking, the stunts that they are doing, are to simulate full-blown actions of competition and brutal impacts between each other. There can still be some significant impacts, but they know how to hit, where to hit, and how to absorb those contacts. Just like Olympic wrestlers, WWE wrestlers need to be in peak performance. They need to be very mentally focused. They need to be working out. They need to be in shape and know what they're doing and know what's coming and be able to improvise. For example, The Rock said he works out 6 days a week for up to 6 hours a day when he was a wrestler. John Cena tore his pectoral muscle back in 2007 to Sting retiring from WWE due to a neck injury in his match against Seth Rollins. There's an endless amount of serious injuries that do occasionally happen in WWE fights, even if a good amount of those fights are scripted. These performers are athletes. They take risks. They jump off, leap over 20-foot metal cages and cage matches. They tear muscles. Holds gone wrong. People have died in the arena of professional wrestling matches because things sometimes communication is good, gets misaligned and stuff happens.
Well, I mean, when there's I've seen, and I'm sure everyone knows, but it's just like this where sometimes it has happened before. It's like you've got people jumping from 20 feet up, like onto a table. I think that's one of them specifically. I don't know if they died in that one, but there was a serious injury because they were trying to jump off of the cage onto a table. And it's just like that's you could jump from your couch and land wrong and seriously injure yourself or die. Or you could trip on the sidewalk. I stepped off a curb and broke my foot. Like it's
a car got in front of me on the bike and I could have been a lot worse injured than my concussion, you know?
Okay, well, that's a car hitting you. That's I'm trying to like escalate down. You're just like, this is 20 foot. I got to wash your couch. I stepped off a curb. I got hit by a car. I'm not just missing it, but I'm like, I sneezed wrong and my brain oozed out my nose. Like,
yeah, there are crazy circumstances where injuries can happen to the minorest things. And increasing the increments of what these stunts are increases the likelihood of serious injuries, which is, I believe, what you're getting at.
So it's bad. And no one should do it. That's a conclusion here.
Well, the thing is, they do everything that they can in training on how to fall, how to do these stunts. They practice them. There is a ton of practice, a ton of work that goes into them. I will never discount the athleticism of professional athletes, but the competition itself is fake. What they are doing is not. There can be, like, they pull punches. They're not full blowing, hitting each other like with maximum force. They do that because they want to reduce injuries, but they want to put on a show and make it look as real as possible. So much so that professional wrestling, if you've ever watched the movie The Wrestler, like, they have razor blades that will cut themselves for real blood and stuff like that. I don't know if that exists now. I don't know about the medical stuff with relation to it, but I imagine it's still a thing. While WWE and professional wrestling isn't a sport, it is entertainment. It is why it's called WWE, is World Wrestling Entertainment. It is scripted. There is a storyline. Moves are rehearsed. There's a large amount of physical improv that happens. Not everything is exactly scripted in the match because things go wrong and you have to come up with something else, some move. Somebody trips and falls or something else happens. But those wrestlers work really hard and with each other to create a beautiful, beautiful show. For example, back in 2008, WWE wrestler Batista was caught blading in a televised cage match.
Blading?
It's where you intentionally cut yourself to bleed. So he was cutting his forehead, so you bleed. Bonus points if you aren't already sweating because it makes more of a spectacle. It used to be fairly common in WWE and had switched from TV-14 to being TV-PG program, so cursing and sexualized content and practices like blading were no longer okay.
Wait, so it was TV-14, it went to PG?
So at that time, they had switched, yes. So it was TV-14 and it switched to PG, and so he got in trouble $100,000, which was quadruple what he thought the fine would be for blading on that match.
Damn. That's quite a commitment to be like, ow!
Slice.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in Attack on Titan, there was a character that had like a little ring that went shing, and there was a little needle on there. That might be more. Oh, I guess having a ring in those fights would not be a good thing.
You're more likely to break your finger, but that probably happens pretty often anyway. So in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s era of pro wrestling, part of entertainment was pro wrestlers winning fights against jobbers, jobbers was the historical term for wrestlers who were meant to lose or lost a lot against pretty much everyone.
Okay.
So their job was to take punches, get hit the mat, make the WWE, or at that time WWF, stars look good. And in 2001, pro wrestler Perry Saturn lost his temper and viciously beat his opponent, Mike Bell, who had made a mistake during the scripted fight.
Was Mike Bell the pro and he was supposed to lose against him?
Mike Bell was supposed to lose. Mike Bell, the jobber, made a mistake, which made Perry Saturn mad, and he apparently started beating the heck out of it.
Oh.
But he was punished for his actions. While you'd think he'd be fired, they wrote gimmickly storylines and taked his career. At one point, they even had him fall in love with a mop, a literal mop with a paper face tacked on called Moppy.
Okay, I gotta look that up.
They were doing everything to make him quit. I don't know, dude.
Did he embrace the mop thing? Did he?
Probably.
That's a mop, all right.
Oh my god.
You haven't seen this?
I have not seen
it. Oh, I thought you would have known this. Okay, yeah. So that's the mop, apparently. But there's mop 2. There's upgraded mop.
Oh. He went and got his mop girlfriend's hair done to be blonde.
Yeah, some makeup on that mop. You know, makeup's an incredible thing. You see the before and the after. That that's a nice mop.
To wrap it up, in 1998, pro wrestler Bart Gunn made a huge mistake in WWE's eyes when he won the Brawl for All when the WWE had planned for another fighter to win, even though the event wasn't technically supposed to be scripted, and Bart Gunn ruined their plans. As a reward, in the 1999 WrestleMania event, he was paired against Eric Butterbean Esch, a super heavyweight fighter who was way above Gunn's weight class and experience level. And Gunn was defeated in like 30 seconds and then was fired when he got back to the locker room.
Oh.
So if you screw up, you go off script, there's a reason there's a script in place. There are severe consequences, oftentimes losing your job or being written out until you can quit, get forced to quit because they undermine you and make you look bad in front of all of the audiences by having you date a mop.
Well, that's not good.
Pro wrestling may be entertaining to watch, but it'll never be a sport unless almost every aspect of it is changed. But would it even be pro wrestling anymore?
Probably not. See, I think what it is like my conclusion here is that there's multiple layers to it, right? There's a story that they're trying to put forward, but just by having these people here trying to make a living off of doing this, there is inherently a story. There's people trying to get famous, people trying to like run the company, make money. There's all inherently all of the elements of drama that humans ever need. And because of these situations, it doesn't even matter what they do, because the drama is there of people being like, oh, he's in love with a mop, that we all know that's as punishment because he did XYZ wrong. And that is entertaining. And so people get entertainment from all angles of this, no matter what they want. And the wrestling almost doesn't even matter.
And again, there's still an insane amount of athleticism shown, coordination, choreography, and things with high-flying events. It's still one of those things. There is athleticism to it, but at the end, it lacks pretty much every element of the sport except for athleticism. And so for that reason, it is not a sport. I also want to go ahead and say that I made a mistake last time we talked about pro wrestling. Brock Lesnar never won an Olympic gold. He actually finished the national championship, winning the national championship in college, and then went to pro wrestling, deciding not to go to the Olympics. That was a mistake I made previously. The other thing is, I know you guys expected the Muay Thai primer. That got postponed because WrestleMania came up, and sometimes pertinent scheduling is more important than what I promised.
You hear that? He never has to keep his promises. That's what he said.
Hey, listen, I'm just trying to join my own version of the Markiplier promises, you know?
I didn't need to be brought into this.
Yes, you do. You're all half of this podcast.
I didn't need to be brought into it, and I don't need to be brought out of it.
Well, is there anything you want to say to our brand new season 3 listeners?
How does the upgrade feel, everyone at home? You were officially upgraded for making it this far, and hope you put those good to use. Remember, with great power comes great responsibility, yada, yada, yada. Try not to steal too much stuff, and don't get caught. It wasn't us that did it.
And please tell us in the subreddit who your favorite wrestler was, specifically if it's Baby Mark. And please, if somebody's so creative, draw Baby Mark the bottle.
The bottle.
With some fan art, some stuff like that. You can share it on the Discord with this Distractigo. You can share it on the Reddit, which is reddit.com/r/GMFST. We will check all of that out. We will actually look at your favorite wrestlers. Feel free to share them. Other audience members might care. We might look at them. That doesn't mean we'll say anything about it. But, and you know what? If you support us and our dreams, I will support you and your dreams of the pro wrestling. And I will honor and read all of your favorite wrestlers. My favorite wrestlers are all the ones that turn into great actors like Dave Bautista, John Cena, and The Rock.
He's basic. He's a basic guy here.
Just basic. I'm basic.
That's it. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. We're going to let Mark get back to doing his film stuff because he's busy.
I'm busy, but I won't be busy for much longer.
Which means we'll be doing more cool stuff in the future. So stay tuned. Make sure and follow the podcast. Make sure you watch on Spotify. Make sure you follow us on our socials. Go check out Mark's channel. Go check out my stuff. And we'll see you in the next episode of Go. Bye.
Bye.